Welcome everybody back to the Multi-Location Marketing Show. Thank you for joining us today. Again, my name is Elliot Olson, and I'm joined here today with Matt Nichols, our CEO, and Kevin Mullett, who's in charge of... Kevin, you're in charge of a lot, so I always kind of forget. SEO, social, you know, you keep the wheels turning. Yeah, we're excited. We're going to talk today about... actually reviews, so, and how they impact local SEO, and you know, how important are they, what platform should you or should you not get reviews on, and yeah, we're just going to kind of dig into it. So got a lot of brain power in this, a lot of experience, and so I thought, yeah, let's just start. Kevin, I would love it if you could just, you know, maybe give us the short answer and then we can dive more deep into it. But how, you know, are reviews important for local SEO? And if so, how much are they important?
Yes, a lot, but we don't know exactly how much, and you should get them.
Okay. Yeah. I like the short version.
Reviews overall are super important. I was just looking at a study. It said, it was like a Harvard, everyone likes to throw out Harvard, study suggested that increasing your average ranking on Yelp by 1 star can lead to a 5 to 9% increase in sales revenue overall. So reviews, super important, obviously, because I think it's like the other stat, 98% of people read online reviews for local businesses. So obviously we're talking about local and being able to scale that. But just those two numbers alone say it's super important, you know, to get reviews and to have information about your business out there. But we're going to dive a little bit deeper into, does that impact SEO and does it make a big difference, you know, from how you're ranking when people are looking for the types of things you do in those local markets? And obviously the answer is yes. So, but we'll let Kevin unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important in all of these things to have people ask themselves, honestly, business owners ask their wives, their husbands, their significant others, their cousin, Billy Joe Bob, their kids, what do they do before making decisions about purchases or activities that they're going to do online? And I bet that if we're all honest with ourselves, we admit that we look at reviews. The days of opening up the yellow pages and simply saying, well, this ad looks decent, and picking a number and calling, and maybe you get a hold of that person and you don't get the good feel, so you go to the next one, that's not happening as much. People are availing themselves of the way the internet is constructed, which allows people to, you know, give information, feedback. And if they don't like what they see, then they're going to go to the next one. So as Matt alluded to there, is it's not just about any one particular aspect of this. There's a big range. How will that help me with my rankings? How will that help me with my trust with that entity? How will that help me with conversion later on? How will that help me with, you know, the confidence? How will that help me with, you know, I mean, again, we could just keep going down the line.
Click-through rates.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot to it. But again, the short version is yes, you need to be looking at that and be managing that online reputation, because it could either be for you or against you. So you know, which do you prefer to have?
Yeah. So I'm just putting myself in the position of somebody who's trying to put together a solution around reviews. And there are obviously a ton of different places that you can, you know, platforms. Do you guys have a recommendation on how to go about understanding what platforms are the most important to have reviews on, and how do I decide, you know, which ones to prioritize? Is there a certain amount of platforms I should focus on first? I mean, is it just about just blanket getting a bunch out there and it doesn't really matter? Like, what's the path when it comes to that?
I think you definitely want a strategy, right? And it's going to depend on your business and what industry you're in, where you're doing a lot of your marketing. But for instance, the title of this is, does it impact, do reviews impact SEO? And we know the answer is yes. So if you're thinking about SEO, obviously the 800-pound gorilla is Google. And so we definitely, the industry would definitely say, yes, it does. And, there's kind of organic can be seen as both like Google Business Profile or what was formerly Google My Business, the map pack that gets triggered when you do a lot of local searches, especially the high volume category searches, right? And there's usually at this point in time, at least three listings on there. And by most accounts in the research in our experience, that getting reviews on Google are obviously going to help you more on Google because it's their own platform and they trust it. And I would say within that, Google algorithms weigh reviews more heavily for the map pack or the Google Local, Google My Business kind of rankings, again, are also based very heavily on proximity as well. But reviews tend to really influence that. That's where they show the reviews, in your profile, so that makes sense. But it also impacts to a lesser degree, but still makes an impact in your general overall organic rankings, non-Google My Business. So when you search for plumbers in Austin, Texas, or plumbers near me, right? You're still, those organic listings that are under the map pack that get a lot of traffic are going to be influenced also by reviews. Now, obviously, that's part of Google's secret sauce. They're always playing with that algorithm. So, one day it could be higher, one day it could be lower. But they're definitely using that as what we would call a trust signal. So if a company's out there and they've got multiple really good reviews and they look organic, they're not, bought, those types of things, then, you're going to do better if you have 4.8 stars than a company that has 2.8 stars. And,
right.
Quality, quantity, ranking score, those are all going to play into that. And it's going to be really important. So, Kevin, you want to add to that at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, if it makes sense to you, if you think of it this way, how do I determine what I'm going to purchase or services I'm going to use online? Where do I go for a particular type of service or offering, right? So if I'm if I'm looking at hotels, I may be using Google Flights and Hotels or the Trips, I may be over on TripAdvisor or I may be over on Yelp or I may be, somewhere else. So you can kind of think through fairly logically where you should spend at least some of your time or devote that time based off of what makes sense for that industry. But the other thing is it's not simply good reviews or bad reviews. It is also responsiveness. So another way of thinking about this is Google always says that they're trying to serve the searcher. And so what would make you happy? Would it make you happy to see, 500 good reviews, but a business that never responds, or 300 positive reviews, some mediocre reviews, but the company is responding to every single one of them with at least some kind of acknowledgement? Which one would give you a higher confidence? And if it gives you a higher confidence, then you can just basically translate that to it's probably something that Google's interested in paying attention to because it serves you. It's a simple way of thinking about or vetting out what provides value. So it's not just, is it all high quality reviews? Because every business has a person who gets crossed. Right.
Yeah. In fact, if you don't have any, it looks suspicious because
exactly.
No business, right?
No business
doesn't have some bad experience.
Yep. And so there's actually studies that show that if a business has no bad reviews, people become cynical and distrusting of that. Now, obviously, we're not saying go get bad reviews on 10 intentionally, but if you were a solid five and you had 10 reviews, you know, that if you've been in business for a while, that doesn't look too organic, right? If you have hundreds of reviews and you're at a 4.8 or something like that, that looks a lot more organic. It looks more organic to Google and it looks more organic to a human visitor. Remember, we just said Google's trying to mimic what human visitors like to serve them. So kind of think through that. But again, my point was, is be responsive and also pay attention to what makes sense for the product service offering that you're doing. Don't sleep on TripAdvisor because, again, if you're doing hotels or something like that, that could be hugely important. If it's Airbnb, yeah. I mean, if your primary business is accommodations, then you better have rock solid reviews on Airbnb as an example.
Yeah. And so I think, would you agree, like kind of how I think about this is Google, like if SEO, you know, impact is your biggest focus, you know, and you're kind of new to the game and you're just getting involved, you know, focus a lot of your efforts on Google out of the gate. But also, I mean, it's probably going to have the biggest impact from a pure SEO standpoint, but they do look at all the other sites as well. And so thinking about, like Kevin was saying, where if you have a lot of interaction on your Facebook page, you know, and you're getting a lot of referrals and things through that, you're going to want good reviews there because, you know, people are going to be seeing that when they're looking at your business page and then maybe making a decision whether or not to click through to your website or give you a call or interact with you in that way. And I would also say, you know, industry is very important, as Kevin was saying, just to reiterate that. So there's a lot of niche sites. If you're a mover, there's movingreviews.com. If you're some kind of healthcare professional, doctor, chiropractor, you know, whatever, you're going to want to make sure you're on, you know, WebMD and Health Grades and some of those. So use a little bit of common sense. Those sites are good to have reviews when people are there because they're trying to attract people in. And then your reviews are going to make a big difference on whether or not someone clicks through to your profile or not and calls you. While it might have less of an impact on overall SEO, it's still important and it still can have an impact on SEO because Google does bring those in.
Well, and actually real quick, I just want to add something. So let's say Matt brings up a great segue into something. Folks, if you're advertising via Google AdWords and you have no Google reviews, that's probably not a great idea. If you're advertising on Facebook and you have no reviews on Facebook, you're literally driving people to an area that doesn't have a good reputation for you, that does not have a good presence for you. So, you know, past just the review aspect of it, just thinking of your overall, the way that people were perceive you online with reviews being a component of that, the ancillary benefit of that, or it could be the primary benefit of that, could be search engine optimization, where it helps you with that local search. And again, I want to jump real quickly back to something Matt said very early, which is how specific location is. So in a study that was done, I think it was by SEMrush in 2021, you know, they found that a significant part of the listings that were brought up were within like a 2 to 10 mile range, right? So thinking about the locality, it's again going to be dependent on industry, but the more localized your business is, the higher the priority goes up for that to impact the three pack, the local pack version of this. So let me back up a second and restate that. The more business you get from a defined local area that's tightly around your area, the higher likelihood this is going to have bigger value. Not saying don't do it otherwise, but the higher likelihood it's going to have high value for you for search visibility.
Do you see, does it matter, like, also the proximity or the location the review is originating from? So, for example, would you want to target reviews in that more tight? I mean, that would happen kind of organically anyway.
Yeah. But
let's say your hair salon, like, you're going to want reviews that are tight in around that location. Does Google look at that as well?
Well, so it would, we don't know that. Google doesn't tell us that. And while a person would logically come to that conclusion, I would say that that is probably more dependent on the type of business. If you have a large, if you're a hotel, it's not going to be local. It's almost going to be all people who are traveling, right? The amount of people who are going to be local are going to be fractional. If you're a restaurant, you're going to have a higher mix depending on the type of restaurant you are, right? If you're right off of a highway versus if you're, you know, 20 miles in from a highway, that is going to dictate that a lot. But what I bet, if I was Google, I would look at that as a way of defining whether these are legitimate and organic reviews. So what you absolutely wouldn't want to do is be having somebody from a foreign country reviewing your business that is...
Your hair salon is really popular in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's not going to bode well for you. That's not going to work out real well.
Yeah.
Right on. I mean, the last thing I kind of wanted to ask was, you know, how important are on-site reviews and do they add value to SEO? I know you used to be, but I don't know as much anymore if they do. I mean, does it have any SEO value to have reviews on your site?
So this is an argued upon opinion, big surprise that something within search is argued. So you have the trust factor that it provides. Somebody sees something positive. And you have the potential distrust, and so you have to weigh that. So does it have
distrust because you're putting them on your site yourself?
Right, exactly. Like who's Bob? You know, Franker. I don't know who Bob Franker is, and I don't know if he's a real person or not. I just made him up. I don't know that name. So the point is that. If it looks legitimate, then it could add credibility, and content is content, right? So if you can, a lot of times what we used to do in the past is we would encourage putting an area or a region that they were from so that it would have some local tie-in to that because we do mostly local type things for multi-location businesses. So having that from the Northeast Fort Wayne area or whatever, so that gives some additional criteria. Or if it was for a service that was related to school district or something like that, anything that you could put in there that could give some tip as to what the location is, then yes, it's content. It could be viewed as positive. But from a search visibility standpoint, particularly after Google specified that a piece of content, a review, should only exist in one place, that has been diminished somewhat. So I would say what you're really talking about is tap-ins or trust signals that you want to have on websites more so than full reviews. I'm not saying don't ever put reviews on there, but you have to ask yourself, where is it going to be more trustworthy on an independent source or on your website? And what are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Yeah.
When you say tap in,
oh, that's an old sales term. I'm sorry. A tap in is where you basically say something that leads people to, it's a statement that leads people to a positive reaction about what you're saying. So in a sales environment, you would say, well, you know, people like us because we do this well. So that's not a review. It's more of a general statement. And then you back it up with reviews. Check out our reviews.
Or testimonials, case studies.
Yep.
Right. Testimonials, case studies. They provide good content, good context. The more robust you are. You know, it's not necessarily a review.
Yep.
Like, because a review has a certain connotation. There's schema that can go around it, right? And things like that. And you can tell Google, hey, this is a review. But they're not going to give you credit for that, like a third-party review site where they're looking at that, because you could fudge it real easily and then give yourself a competitive advantage. So they're not going to trust that right away. But that doesn't mean that there's no value in it.
Correct.
There's still, you know, organic content value. There's still, as Kevin said, trust signal for people visiting that, you know, if you do it right, that can provide a lot of value for you as well.
And truth be told, like something that we still do occasionally is there's nothing wrong with taking a legitimate review, trapping it in an image. You lose the schema that Matt was talking about. You lose it. It's like a trade-off. Which is more important to you? If you're doing it more for the conversion, you can take a review, something that was said legitimately. It's not faked. It's a legitimate review. You can trap it in an image and put it as an image in a content area. You know, that could lead confidence. That's a trust signal. Or you could actually have reviews that are on your site. But again, Google has made it pretty clear that they really prefer third party reviews from a signal for trustworthiness for signal.
Cool. Well, this is – I love how deep you guys went into this.
One more thing I want to say.
Yeah,
one
go
more
ahead.
Thing I want to say.
Go ahead.
As we talked about, I think, you know, especially from a multi-location standpoint, one of the things, if you're a corporate entity, you know, a marketing professional responsible for marketing at scale, say you have 50 locations, 100 locations, you really want to have a program to actively manage your reviews. And – I think best practice would be looking at a location by location basis, like understanding you have a strategy corporate wide, kind of like we talked about. So, hey, we're getting started here. SEO is a big focus. We're going to really focus on soliciting reviews and driving people to Google, for example, which is great. But then as time goes, and maybe you say, hey, we also are very active in Yelp and Facebook. We want to get some on there. So maybe you have a strategy that once your locations based on their size or whatever get to a certain number, then you kind of start, you know, sending people to some of these other properties that you want to request them to review on there and, you know, have the right kind of a ratio. And then you can get, you know, coverage across all these different properties. Cause if you put everything on Google, well, that's great for SEO. You have people visiting you on Facebook a lot and you have no reviews there. Then I just saw one of our clients, they had the opposite. They had tons of amazing reviews on Facebook, but they had nothing on Google. So a lot of their business and stuff was coming from Facebook and they kind of grew through social media, which was great. But then now they wanted to start really doing well organically. And people were searching and they were coming up in the map pack, but no reviews. That's not good, you know, because you want when their competitors are showing high reviews, it doesn't build as much confidence. And I know that's hurting them. So, you know, we made the recommendation, let's start really focusing. You're doing great on Facebook. Let's start really focusing on driving happy customers to Google, right? And getting some of those great reviews on Google as well. So, you know, and the same thing would apply to your strategy. If you have some niche sites, if you have, you know, some industry specific stuff, just manage it, look at it, and then you really need a tool set that can bring all those reviews together and you can kind of see, show me all the Facebook reviews per location, and then, you know, you can send out some strategic communications to your people at the local level. Or if you have a tool set, like Market Center, that you can manage that all centrally, you can make those changes, you know, for groups of sites or individual sites where now in your review process as you're soliciting, you're changing that on a location by location basis based on, you know, kind of what the lay of the land is for that particular location. So I think that'll do, you know, a great, you know, from a multi-location standpoint, actively managing all that is going to do wonders, you know, for not only your SEO, but your conversion rate, your overall traffic, and your sales and revenue growth. And that's ultimately what you're trying to do. And it's super important and can make a big impact. So
two quick follow-ups to that. I promise I'll be quick about it. Number one.
It's like you guys want
it. So number one is don't forget about how powerful it is from a multi-location business standpoint to have that be manageable at scale. So one of the reasons that a lot of people don't do it is because, as Matt was alluding to, there is it's daunting. How do you manage that at scale? And to speak briefly about the MarketSnare platform is we have a methodology that expedites that and allows you to efficiently do that. And the reason that's important is because if you want to have the location where Bob is the manager and the response is literally in a template that says, hey, please make sure to reach out to Bob at this phone number, and that's baked into the response template that you have, then it becomes simpler to do that. You're not looking up who's at that location, right? The secondary piece of this is that as a business, don't you want to make sure that your locations are serving your businesses the best that they can? And one of the other things that we've seen by actively managing this is you might find some managers that or some locations that need some additional training or some corrective behavior on how they treat.
Whether that's like having an analytics tool where you can look at the content of the reviews and pulling that together, and you might see some locations are having trouble with this issue, and these are doing great. So it's a great just business operational intelligence tool as well, right?
And I,
as you mentioned, responses, you know, are we responding in a timely manner? Do you have ways to mass respond and do things at scale to make it easier? Because a lot of the responses, hey, thanks, we appreciate your business, and leaving a kind review. Yeah. You know, you might need to say something really basic like that you could kind of repeat, but you might have certain things that you want to flag for, hey, this needs to be followed up on, and customer service needs to get involved. Then you can, you know, because as we said at the beginning, you know, you might get some bad reviews, but so many of the customers, if you think about how you look at it yourself, they're going, if you had somebody that was unhappy, but then they see, hey, you took it seriously, you reached out, you made it right, that bad review can be a real positive. So, you know, you can turn those things around. But if you don't know what's going on, you know, or you're leaving it up to each local manager, if you want some oversight in that, you need a tool set that you can kind of pull that all together.
Now, lest we say that it's always the managers and never corporate. Actually, the reverse can be true as well. Hey, managers, if you have a tool like this, you can be identifying the fact that, hey, corporate, we keep getting dinged on this thing, which we can't do without your participation or your assistance. So it's not just a one-way thing. It can work to basically elevate the entire business, as it should, because you should take response back and take it creatively.
Awesome. Well, thanks guys. And thanks everybody who's listening today. Hopefully you got something to take away out of this that you can apply to your business. That's the goal. And if you have any questions, obviously you can feel free to reach out to us. Our information is in the description. Happy to support you with any other questions you have around reviews. And I'm sure we'll have more episodes on this week. You know, there's a lot to talk about reviews, you know, how to leave them, how to respond to them. I could see that almost like being an entire another episode. So until then, we will see everybody next time. Thanks for listening to the Multilocation Marketing Show. If you're a multilocation business wanting to improve your local marketing, visit marketsnare.com/podcast for more content and resources. While you're there, book a call with one of our multi-location specialists where we'll dive into your local marketing challenges and offer recommendations for improvements. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Multi-Location Marketing Show.